Long time ago, there was a Rav of a town called Yanif. The Maisa does not say his name, but in order that we should understand the Maisa better, let's say his name was Reb Chaim. Let's call him Reb Chaim. Now Reb Chaim was a big Talmud Chachim. He was the Rav of the town. But there's one thing about the Reb Chaim that was not exactly 100% wonderful, and that was that by nature, he was a big action. And action means stubborn. If he made up his mind, nobody could argue with him. Nobody could show him it was something different. He always had to be right exactly the way he saw it. And if somebody had an argument with him in anything, he would never change his mind. He would say, I'm right, and that's it. Now, there's a certain good thing about that, but it's not always so good. To be so strong-minded all the time, it's not 100% necessarily perfect. Now again, we're not talking about a perfect tzaddik over here. Even though he was a rav, but he was not like a perfect tzaddik necessarily, as you're going to see in the Maisa. Now in this world, there's very little that's perfect. Hashem is perfect, the Torah is perfect, and a real tzaddik, a real true tzaddik is perfect. Everyone else, you could find sometimes something that they're not 100%. Now here's the Maisa. This Reb Chaim, one time, it came time to marry off his bechor, his firstborn son. His firstborn son was now old enough to have a chasana, and they found him a nice shidduch, also with a rav from far away, from a different town. And they made up that the chasana is going to be in the town of the Kala, and the rav and his son are going to travel to go to the chasana. And of course, the rav also invited people from his town, family and friends of the chasin and from the family. So now it was time to go to the chasana, and people got in their horses and their wagons pulled by horses. They're driving out of the town, and they're going now to the faraway town where the chasana is. It takes a whole day to get there, and they have to drive through the big forest between Reb Chaim's town and the other town where the chasana is going to be, the town of the Kala. There's a big, big forest, and the road goes through the big forest. And so now they're traveling the whole day through the big forest. The Rav is traveling in a wagon with his son, with also a very important person from the community called the Reish HaKahal, the head of the community. Like I told you once, like a Parnas Chodesh, who's in charge of different things. And also another Talmud Chacham, a friend of the Chasna, was going in the wagon. And they were going. It came now late afternoon. That night is the Chasana. It came late afternoon. They're still traveling through the forest. And it came time to daven mincha. Okay, they have to stop the wagon. They go out of the wagon. And they said, let's go over. Each one will go by a tree. Because you're not allowed to daven in the open. You have to go like by a closed place. And if you're outside, you go by a tree. So now they're going to go each one by a tree. And they're going to daven mincha. They did not have a minyan, so they had to daven each one by himself. So each one went by a tree. They started davening. And when each one finished, they started going back to the wagons. Now the Rav was davening along Shmoneh Esrei. He was davening with Kavana. He was davening with Kavana. So it took him a long time. So they said, we'll wait by the wagon for the Rav. They're sitting in the wagon when they're waiting for the Rav to come. They're waiting and they're waiting. The time is going on. How long is the Shmoneh Esrei over here? How long is the rest of Mincha? Even if he's saying Tehillim or something, how long is it taking the Rav? It already got to be now dark. And they're in the forest. Finally, they said, let's go look for the Rav. Who knows what happened over there? They go down from the wagon. They walk back to the trees where they were davening. And they went to the tree that the Rav was davening, Shmoneh Esrei. He's gone. They don't see him. Where is he? They start looking around. They start calling for him. They don't see him. They don't hear anything. They start to think, what happened over here? What's going on? What's doing? Where's the Rav? They go back to the wagon by the road. He's also not there. Now, there came also some more wagons of people going to the Chasana that were also going through the forest. And they told them what happened, that the Rav is missing. He was davening mincha and he's missing. And they started talking what could have happened. And one of the people said, look, there was a certain man, a rich man with a big, beautiful wagon, and he had left kind of late from the town where the Chasana lived. And he was going by himself in his big wagon. Probably the Rav, after Mincha, maybe he came out of a little bit different part of the forest. And maybe for some reason over there, the rich man was going with his wagon. And the wagon of the Rav was a little bit off the road towards the trees, so they didn't notice him going. And so the Rav was standing there by the road. The rich man was going by himself in his wagon. And he invited the Rav to go with him. So they went together in that wagon. So probably the Rav is already by the Chasana, already by the hall. And he got a ride with someone else, that's all. So they don't have to worry. Okay, that was the best sounding thing they could think of. So everybody got in their wagons and they start now going to the Chasana. They arrived at the town where the Chasana is going to be, where the Kala lived. They go into the hall for the Chasana, and now there's many, many people there, but they start looking for the Rav, the father of the Chasana, and he's not there. And no one heard of him, no one saw him. Now, you can imagine how everyone felt. On the one hand, they're happy for a Chasana, on the other hand, they're upset, and they feel very bad and very sad, because the Chasana's father is not there, and they don't know what happened to him. He disappeared in the forest. But they had to go on with the Chasana. They made the Chasana. But under the chuppah was only the Chasana and the Kala, and only the Kala's father, but not the Chasana's father. And by the dancing was not the Chasana's father. And by the Suda, the Rav, the father's Chasana, I'm sorry, the Chasana's father was not there. So everyone felt happy and sad at the same time, and they made the Chasana. Well, maybe he'll come for the Sheva Brachas. The whole week of Sheva Brachas went by. No one heard of the Rav, and no one saw the Rav. A few weeks went by afterwards, Kenalach. The Rav was gone. He had disappeared. No one heard of him, and no one saw him. Until one day, finally, weeks later, this is what happened. You want to hear what happened? I'll tell you. What had happened to the Rav? The Rav was davening by that tree. He was davening along Shmoneh Esrei. After he finished Shmoneh Esrei, he said, it's time to go back to the wagon. But instead of going to the right side and following a little bit the path by the trees where he had to go, a little bit tricky path, the Rav took a few steps in the wrong direction, and he went by some other trees. He got a little bit mixed up exactly where to go, and instead of going towards the road, he went away from the road. And the way the forest goes, when you go away from the road, there's no more roads, so all you start seeing is trees and bushes and plants and a few wild animals. And the Rav started going in the wrong direction, and he got deeper and deeper into the forest until he was lost completely. And it was nighttime, and he tried to find some kind of a place to stay, some kind of a house, but nobody was living in that part of the forest. So he went miles and miles into the deep part of the forest, and he got so lost, he stayed lost in the forest without finding a person, without finding a road for a few weeks. How did he live? There's plants over there. There's some wild fruit growing over there. And he was wandering around, sleeping in the forest, eating the wild things in the forest. And he stayed over there for a few weeks in the forest until finally Hashem helped him. He was able to somehow get out and find a road until he finally came back to his town. Now, it was such tzoras for the Rav, and he was so worried, and it was so difficult to be with those plants and wild animals and cold and all those noises and sounds and going through bushes and going by trees and getting lost. You can imagine how he felt and all alone. That the Rav now also got mixed up as to what day it was and what time it was. Until it came time, he says, "Oi, I have to keep Shabbos now in the forest. Forget about challahs and forget about wine and forget about a nice minion and a cholent and a kugel and a flegel. He's got to keep Shabbos as best as he can. But when is Shabbos?" He got mixed up as to what day it was. Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? Is it Tuesday? Is it Monday? Is it Erev Shabbos? What day is it? He got mixed up. And he tried his best to figure out what day it was until he finally made a certain decision that, okay, today is Erev Shabbos, tonight is Shabbos. And he did his best to keep Shabbos in the forest. If he found a lake, he toiveled to go to the mikveh, or maybe he did that every day, he did an extra time to go for Shabbos. He did whatever he could to keep Shabbos. You know, you're not allowed to travel far away from the place you are, and not to touch muksa things or whatever it was, and not to carry. He kept Shabbos as good as he could in the forest until finally he came out. Finally, ken luck, when the Rav came home, everybody was so happy to see the Rav. His family was so happy to see him. And it was a big simcha in the town. And the week went by. Everybody was so happy and feeling the simcha every day that the Rav is back. That was the talk of the town. Until something happened to disturb the simcha. And this is what happened. The Rav went to the shul in the morning. He came back in the late afternoon. It was Thursday. The Rav went to shul like every day Thursday. He comes back Thursday late afternoon. He comes in the house. And his wife is in the kitchen, and the kinalach are in the house. All of a sudden, the Rav says to his wife, "Hey, where are the challahs? Where's the cholent? Where's the chicken soup? It's almost Shabbos. Why haven't you prepared for Shabbos?" His wife says, "Wait a minute. What do you mean? Today is only Thursday. I cook Thursday night, but usually out of Shabbos. I haven't even started yet." The Rav says, "What do you mean it? What do you mean? What are you kidding? Today's Friday. Today's Erev Shabbos. Today's Erev Shabbos already. I know many times you cook only on Erev Shabbos, and I expect when I come home from shul, I should see the challahs baked and the cholent on the stove and the chicken soup. Today's Erev Shabbos. Today's not Thursday. Today's Erev Shabbos. Tonight is Shabbos." His wife says, "No, you must be making a mistake. Maybe in the forest you got mixed up what day it was. The whole day is Thursday. Tonight is Thursday night. Tomorrow is Erev Shabbos. Tomorrow night Shabbos." The Rav says, "Oh no. Today was Erev Shabbos. I already went to the mikvah. I'm getting ready for Shabbos. I'm going to get in my Shabbos clothes. Tonight is Shabbos. Tonight is Kiddush. Tonight is Kabbalah Shabbos. Tonight is chicken soup. Tonight is Shabbos." And the whole family gathered around. The kids said, Tati, maybe in the forest you got mixed up what day it was. Today is not Shabbos. Tonight is not Shabbos. Today is Thursday. Tomorrow is Shabbos." And the Rav gave a clap on Tish. "You're wrong. You're all wrong. You made a mistake. Not me." Now I told you, remember, the Rav is an akshin. Even though he's a fine man and a big Talmud Chachim, but for some reason he has in his head this akshanis that you cannot change his mind. If he makes of his mind that this is the way it is, this is the way it is, and he can't change his mind for anything in the world. The Rav decided, he's right, today is Friday, tonight is Shabbos, and you could say what you want, you're wrong. If you think it's not Shabbos, you're wrong. He's right. Well, he started telling everybody, get ready for Shabbos. He says to the kids, put on your Shabbos clothes. But it's Thursday night. It's not Thursday night. It's going to be Friday night. Tonight's Shabbos. Get ready to go to shul for Shabbos. He tells his wife, quick, Make a cholent, make a kugel, make something. We have to make kiddush tonight. Where's the wine? She says, but it's Thursday. It's not, it's Friday. Tonight is Shabbos. The Rav puts on his Shabbos clothes. And now he goes to shul. His kids are dressed up. He makes them go to shul. He comes into the shul. And, you know, it's going to be Ma'ariv pretty soon. Everybody's getting ready for Ma'ariv. And, you know, somebody lights the candles and somebody else is smoking over there. And, you know, somebody's carrying a sefer and the Rav starts screaming. What are you carrying a sitter for? What are you carrying? What are you smoking for over there? Why did you light the candles? How come you're dressed like this? Clean up this shul. What's going on? He said, what's wrong? It's going to be Ma'ariv. It's Ma'ariv, it's Kabbalah Shabbos. L'cha doidi. L'chun ranana. Let's go. It's Shabbos tonight. They said to the Rav, tonight's Thursday night. V'hu rachum. It's going to be Ma'ariv. No. It's going to be L'chun ranana. It's going to be Kabbalah Shabbos. Now, what's wrong with you? How come you're not dressed up for Shabbos? Why isn't this shul with the tablecloths, the white tablecloths? Why? How come somebody's lighting candles? How come somebody's carrying? What's going on over here? And the Rav started yelling that they have to daven Kabbalah Shabbos. Of course, nobody wanted to. It's Thursday night. Okay, he went to the Amit. He was the chazan, and he starts. And everyone else is davening, you know, v'hurachum. Everyone else is davening Ma'ariv. Everybody said, the Rav probably made a mistake in the forest. And they tried to explain to him, when you were in the forest, you made a mistake because you were in a very big tsar over there. It was very difficult, so you got mixed up what day. So you came back, you see everybody's keeping Shabbos a different day. Tonight's Thursday night. You could not speak to him. You could not talk to him. He made up his mind. Tonight is Shabbos, and that's it. Finished. He davened Shabbos, davening. He comes home. And his wife is still trying to cook, you know, something for supper. And he starts screaming at her, why are you cooking on Shabbos? You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. What are you doing on the stove? Stirring on the stove? Cooking? Screaming? She's trying to set the table now. Now he says, we're going to make Kiddush. They bring the wine. He says, Shalom Aleichem. It's Thursday night, he's saying, Shalom Aleichem. And this is what happened. Now, Friday morning, he goes to shul. Everyone has on towels and tefillin. And he starts screaming, you're not allowed to wear towels and tefillin. Tefillin, you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Take off the tefillin. You're not allowed to wear tefillin. They're davening a regular shacharis. Somebody goes over to the pushka with money to put in the pushka. He screams, Mukse, Mukse, you're not allowed to touch money. It's Mukse. Today's Shabbos. What are you doing with money? He saw another Jew in the street in a wagon with a horse. He starts screaming, get off the wagon. You're not allowed to drive today. And the Yid says, what do you mean? I have to go to work today. Work? It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to work. It was Erev Shabbos. He's going to work on his wagon with his horse. And the Rav starts screaming, you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. Shabbos, go to shul. And the Rav starts trying to get everybody to daven. With Kriya Sateira, with everything. Everybody's mixed up. What to do? They try to explain to the Rav, today is Erev Shabbos. He goes in the bakery. People are standing buying challahs. What are you doing? You're not allowed to carry these challahs today. Don't bake today. It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to bake. Now, as much as you try to explain, the Rav would listen. Now, the whole Friday went by, Erev Shabbos went by. That night was Shabbos for everybody. Everybody kept Shabbos. Now, what happened? The Rav went to shul. And while everybody else is davening Shabbos davening, he davened the regular Ma'ariv. They went home to make Kiddush. He came home and he says, we have to make Havdalah now. It's time for Havdalah. Havdalah! No, Tati, Kiddush. What do you mean Kiddush? Shabbos is only one day, not 2 days. We already made Shabbos. Now it's Havdalah. The Rav made Havdalah. Everyone else was eating the Shabbos suit at night. He was eating Malav Malka. He lit candles. And he ate Malav Malka. He says to his wife, Malav Malka, cook some potatoes. She says, Chas Shalom. Cook potatoes.
I'm not going to cook potatoes.
In the morning, the Rav goes to shul. He puts on talis and tefillin. Everyone else is davening without talis and tefillin. Only with talis, it's Shabbos. The Rav puts on tefillin. And everybody else is davening slow and nice. The Rav says, what do you mean? Today's a regular Sunday davening. What are you davening, Shabbos davening for? Puts on talis and tefillin. He lights the candles. He has money in his pocket. After shul, the Rav says, I'm hungry. I want to go buy something in the bakery. He goes to the bakery. It's closed. He starts screaming, why is the bakery closed? I want to buy some bread. I want to buy some food. He went to the fruit store. It was closed. He went to the fish store. It was closed. Everything is closed. He can't buy anything. And this is the way it went week after week. The Rav kept Shabbos Thursday night and Friday. Everyone else kept Shabbos on Shabbos. And they tried to explain to the Rav that Shabbos is Shabbos. And he said, no, you're all wrong. Everybody is wrong. Everyone is making a mistake but me. Now, the Maisa of this Rav spread out throughout all the different towns and different places in the country. People were talking about this Reb Chaim, who thought that Thursday was Shabbos, Thursday night and Friday was Shabbos. Until the news reached the ears of a great tzaddik named Reb Shmilka from Nikolsburg. Reb Shmilka from Nikolsburg. And he was a friend of this Reb Chaim's from the time that they were kids. He knew Reb Chaim very, very well. And as soon as he heard that his friend Reb Chaim was doing this, Reb Shmilka wanted to figure out a way to help. And this is what Reb Shmilka did. Listen to the interesting chokhmah of what Reb Shmilka did. Reb Shmilka got in his wagon, and on Thursday morning he arrived at the house of Reb Chaim, the Rav of Yanov. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim sees Reb Shmilka of Nikolsburg come to him, a chashuv ha'erech, such a chashuv a person, an important person. And he says, Reb Shmilka, have you come to me for Shabbos? Oh, yes, I've come to you for Shabbos. Can I be your Shabbos guest? Definitely. What an honor and what a big covet that I have you for Shabbos. Come. Okay, Reb Shmilka says, let's start getting ready for Shabbos. Oh, of course. I'm glad to meet somebody else who knows when it's Shabbos. Tonight is Shabbos, right? Reb Shmilka says, of course tonight is Shabbos. Why do you think I came today? Tonight is Shabbos. I want to be by you for Shabbos. Now, Reb Chaim's family, all of a sudden, this big tzaddik, this is a great tzaddik. Not just a Rav, a great tzaddik, Reb Shmilka of Nikolsburg. There are many Chassidish Amayis about him. All of a sudden, he says tonight is Shabbos. They started to shake. What's going on over here? What's doing? And as he says, let's get ready for Shabbos, he motions to the family, everyone get ready for Shabbos. Tonight's going to be a beautiful Shabbos. And Reb Shmilka continues and he says, not only tonight is going to be a beautiful Shabbos, tonight is going to be a Sudas Haidah, a special Suda. And Reb Chaim says, oh, that's right. I didn't make a special Sudas Haidah, a thank you Suda, when I came out of the forest. I haven't done that yet. Reb Shmilka says, yes, of course. I wanted to also be by you for the Sudas Haidah. When a person comes out of a danger, if Hashem helps a person with a special help, a person says thank you to Hashem by making a special Suda called a Sudas Haidah. A special Suda. He invites people, friends, and he invites a lot of people to the Suda, and they say thank you to Hashem that he was saved from his trouble. So Reb Chaim says, very good. Tonight will be a Shabbos Suda and a Suda Seidah. And Reb Shmilka says, so Reb Chaim, why not invite the whole town? Invite everybody from the shul to come to your house for the Suda Seidah. Oh, very good. That's what we'll do. And Reb Chaim says to his family, okay, set the table.
put out the extra tables, prepare the house for many, many guests. We're going to have tonight a beautiful Siddur Seidah. Reb Shmilk of Nicholsburg is here. And we're going to invite everybody from the shul to come to the Siddur Seidah and the Shabbos Suda. They'll make Kiddush in our house. And Reb Shmilk says, listen, such a special Suda, you should have the best wine. Do you have some bottles of good wine, good strong wine? Well, Reb Chaim says, we have a few bottles. Reb Shmilka says, listen, I also brought some bottles as a gift for you, for your house. I have some very delicious, good, old wine that I brought for the Suda's Haidah. Okay. And so Reb Shmilka and Reb Chaim, they start getting ready for Shabbos. And Reb Chaim's family also, they see that they have to prepare now for a big Suda, for the whole town, for a lot of people. Hai vei. And they're also wondering what is going on. The Rebbe Shmilka thinks that Thursday night is Shabbos. What's going on? But there was no time to think too much. They have to get ready for the big Suda. And so, Kindelach, Rebbe Shmilka was dressed up in his Shabbos clothes, and Rebbe Chaim, and now they go to shul. They go to shul. It's Thursday night in shul, but everybody is used to the Rav coming in wanting to daven Kabbalah Shabbos on Thursday night. And Reb Shmilka came in and said to everybody, a guten Shabbos, a guten Shabbos. Reb Chaim says, a guten Shabbos. And he says, everyone is invited to Reb Chaim's house tonight for the Shabbos Suda and the Suda's Haidah. A big Suda in Reb Chaim's house. Make sure you come dressed up beautifully and nicely. It's going to be a special Suda. And please come right after Ma'ariv. Bring your families if you want. Everybody's invited. Well, everybody got so excited that Reb Shmilk of Nicholsburg is announcing this. And Reb Chaim says to Reb Shmilka, please, you go and daven Kabbalah Shabbos. Reb Shmilka says, no, I would like to hear you daven Kabbalah Shabbos. I'm going to daven by the side over there. Everyone is wondering, of course, what's going on, Bechlal. Reb Chaim goes like he usually does to the Amud and starts on Thursday night, L'chu Naranana. And they notice that Reb Shmilka, even though he's dressed up in his beautiful Shabbos clothes, he takes the sitter and he turns to Ma'ariv, V'hurachum, regular Ma'ariv. So they see Epis is already going on over here. Interesting thing. Reb Shmilka is davening a regular Ma'ariv in his Shabbos clothes. And the Rav is going on, L'chunaranana, L'chadaydi, with the gunim, and the whole Shabbos davening. Vayichulu, everything. After shul, Reb Chaim, Reb Shmilke, they walk back to Reb Chaim's house. Everyone else runs home. They get dressed up in their Shabbos clothes. After all, they're invited to a beautiful Suda. They come to the Rav's house. They go around the table. There's challahs, there's food. Everyone sings Shalom Aleichem with great simcha. And now Reb Chaim makes Kiddush. Okay, he made Kiddush for everyone. They heard Kiddush. They sit down by the Suda. Everyone washes. They make a moitzi on the challah. Right before Kiddush, Reb Shmilka, he says to Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, for Kiddush, I would like you to use the bottle of wine that I brought. Very good old wine. And I would also like you to use the becher, my own becher that I brought. He had a huge becher. He had a very big becher. He poured the wine for Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim made Kiddush on the wine that Reb Shmilka gave him, and he drank the wine. It was very, very strong wine. He already felt a little bit dizzy, but of course they go wash, they make a moitzi on the chalas. After a moitzi, Reb Shmilka says to Reb Chaim, make l'chaim to everybody, thanking Hashem that he saved you from the forest. And he poured him also again to the top of his becher, a big l'chaim from the old wine. And Reb Chaim says, well, I think I've had enough wine already from Kiddush. And Reb Shmilka says, are you kidding? This is a Suda's Haidah. This is a special thank you to Hashem. Make l'chaim. He makes l'chaim on a big, big kois of wine. Reb Shmilka asks him to drink the whole kois. He drinks the whole kois of wine, like for Pesach. He drinks a whole cup of wine. Then they have the fish. After the fish, Reb Shmuelka says to Reb Chaim, one l'chaim is not enough. Make another l'chaim to everybody. Give everybody brachas. Bench everybody. You're a bala simcha over here today. You have a suda seidah. Make l'chaim.